Next on Speak Up.
When she got married, she got depressed. Wasn't depressed about getting married.
I was about to say, got married, got dead, got depressed.
No, I'm not there. Not because she got married.
What is this?
Not because she got married, but because she did not lose weight on her big day.
Oh.
And she felt so ashamed that she walked, like she...
It all happens right now.
81% of parents don't think,
they don't think
dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
Overeating is a serious problem affecting women more than men, and with negative consequences. In one study, twice as many girls than boys reported overeating in the previous year. And what is worse, youth who engaged in overeating were more likely to be overweight or obese and to have dieted in the past. But more concerning, I would say, for every 100 girls, 29 of them reported attempting suicide. That is serious. What is the difference between simply enjoying food and liking a good meal or having a food addiction? What are the root causes of food addictions? That is what we'll be speaking up about today. So, who is going to speak up? Anybody here loves food?
Yes. We all do love food. Food could be your best friend.
And your worst enemy.
And your worst enemy.
Oh, yeah, you know that by experience?
I just know that food could be your best friend. Yeah.
Food. No, not me. I don't have a single problem with food. I love them all.
Now, have you have friends like I do? You know, sometimes you go on social media or Facebook. There are some people that all they post is pictures
of
those nuts. Delicious.
I'm sorry, but that irritates me.
Who cares?
Oh, why is that? Yes. One of my closest friends does that.
I do.
Because a lot of times they're actually not eating it. They're just trying to tempt a lot of people that they're actually.
It almost sounds like they are compulsive about the food. They just want to see those.
One of our friends just makes, you know, whatever. And so she enjoys the food she makes and she'll post it. And I just, quite frankly, wanted to have been invited over for lunch.
Yeah, it looks good.
My psychiatric training kicks in, that chip kicks in and go, girl, you got problems, boy, whatever. But no, if that's the only thing you consumed by, that's the only thing you post, you know.
Is that a sign of maybe a food addiction or no?
It's food appreciation.
It's a sign of being self-absorbed.
Food appreciation. There's nothing wrong with appreciating good food.
That's true.
Exactly. But let me tell you, share a story that I actually read online. It's about, let's shift a little bit to like food addiction. Mm. When she got married, she got depressed. Wasn't depressed about getting married.
I was about to say, got married, got dead, got depressed.
No, I'm not there.
Not because she got married.
What is this?
Not because she got married, but because she did not lose weight on her big day.
Oh.
And she felt so ashamed that she walked, like she was 224 pounds when she walked down the aisle, and she felt like she wasn't miserable walking down, but she was so ashamed that she
wasn't where she wanted to be.
She wanted to lose weight, but she... And then the night before her wedding, she ate like 6 slices of pizza. I could eat that, right? You know, in comfort eating.
It's like binge eating.
Right.
In a way.
Because it was not because she was nervous, but because she wanted to comfort herself.
Right. That
she did not lose weight. She should not be... She felt ashamed that she should not be feeling that way, that she should be excited that she's going to get married.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later... Her worst fear got confirmed when she saw her picture.
Right.
And she felt like she was having some self-loathing, and she was like blaming herself why she didn't. And then she didn't realize that she was actually driving through a drive-through fast food chain, and she stuffed herself with French fries.
There's an app now that you can, you know, we'll send it to her. You can do some different things with your face. Tell her that she can't resist it at that.
So. No, but the wedding photos, and it hit that's when she hit rock bottom.
Right.
And she stopped the car and she started sobbing, and she said, you know, I have to do something.
But sometimes it's that rock bottom that people need.
You need to hit.
You know, sometimes you have to see the wedding pictures. Mm-hmm. that make you uncomfortable. Sometimes,
especially
you have to
in the case of addiction,
mid fry, you know, and stop and say, okay, wait, what am I doing?
So, but yeah. at least she realized. But yes. if you don't realize that, you're having that addiction and just keep eating,
don't you think that it can turn into that? I mean, if you start eating because of any kind of emotion, good or bad, you're eating because of this emotion. Can't that turn into an addiction?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
oftentimes that can be the root cause, I think, right, of many of the addictions that we see. It's issues related to how you feel, and you look for things to comfort you in that feeling. It's not going to fix the issue,
but
in a way, it's kind of like bringing a new perspective, a distraction of what you really want to
escaping
deal with.
From reality, escaping especially from when reality. They're
modern
like hurting.
Modern times
Why?
Problems.
Why? Do you think that people didn't have a problem with addictions early 300 years ago?
There was a time.
Remember the king
back in Bible times.
At one point, you know, people were farming and they didn't have. Well, exactly. They had to eat that, you know, that
just
amount,
what
they need and that, just what they had. Now we're concerned that we are overeating because we can overeat.
Because we can.
That is true. Now it's easy. The message is out there. I mean, look at the portion size. I remember coming to the United States from Brazil, where I'm from.
Right.
And my friend took me to all these restaurants with the multi-huge sizes. And I was like, are you serious? This is just for you at the whole table. No, it's just for you. And she was laughing as I looked. Do you want a small drink or a medium?
Yeah.
The medium came this big. I'm like, what?
And the large was like,
it's easy. It's easy to do those kinds of things. But I think what you said is so key, because you work with girls, and you too, Novella.
Absolutely.
And I think it starts early on, this feeling of, maybe, you know, I'll feel better if I have some chocolate.
Right.
And then suddenly...
But people tell you that when you're on your cycle, it's chocolate that helps you.
Carbohydrates, actually, is what your body is craving.
None of it's true.
None of it's true.
It's not true.
The body does need some carbs.
But not the chocolate. I always say chocolate helps you.
It's a very complex problem because it's also, there are so many variables. There's also the cultural aspect. Some cultures, they want a woman to be plump.
That's the word.
Yeah, and wide hips means fertility. Mm-hmm. And if you get somebody skinny who is on the runway because she is that tall, lengthy, and skinny and all that, she is ugly with it.
Don't you hate that? Women that are very skinny and suddenly they eat all they can eat.
Don't you hate women like that? They eat everything.
Skinny. It can be so confusing.
No, we love them.
It can be so confusing because, like you said, culturally it makes a difference. In some cultures, if you have a certain size, you're healthy and strong and able. Right. And then if you're too slim, you are malnourished. What is wrong with you? You don't eat.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with any of that.
That is so true. But you said it right. There are very many of those perceptions come from our upbringing, from our cultural perspective. We have a lot of questions. We need to talk to experts to find out how can we differentiate these things from actually food addictions. And today, our guest, Dr. Julio Melgoso, is here. He is a psychologist who is a specialist in the area of addictions. In fact, Dr. Melgoso has written books on this issue. Dr. Melgoso, welcome. And you
saw
our conversation. I mean, we all love food, but how do we differentiate between enjoying some delicious meal or actually binge eating or even having a food addiction?
It's a big difference. Food should be a blessing to everyone who eats it. It should give you nourishment and make you feel good. But oftentimes, because of other pressures that people have or because they are totally unaware of the processes that are going on when we eat, when we think before, when we think after, they fall, they get trapped into a food addiction. And just being aware of these processes can help people to realize of what's going on and prevent any problem.
What are some very clear signs that you're going too far in terms of that?
Well, it's when you are having obsessive thoughts about the
all
food
you think
you
about is food.
You think too
so
much
the
about
friends
food
that posted all
before
the time on Facebook, food, food, food,
right.
Maybe
or
that could be a
when
sign.
You spend a lot of time about food because you eat too much and then you have to recover in the next 2 or 3 hours to go back to normal. When it's in your mind all the time or when you have to eat a little bit more of that delicious dessert in order to really feel that stage of well-being that you feel after you eating. Those are some of the signs.
Well, thank you so much. We do have many more questions to ask you on that. You know that we have our Speak Up friends that will be joining me very, very quickly here to answer some of those tough questions. Perhaps you are someone who is watching us and you love food like we do. And you don't know whether what you enjoy is just a love for food or if you are having a food addiction. So stay tuned with us. We'll be right back after this break. We are speaking up about overeating today, and psychologist Dr. Julio Melgosa is here helping us with the questions that we have. So, Dr. Melgosa, you gave us some a good idea of how to differentiate between loving food and what a food addiction is. My question is, can you be thin and still have a food addiction? Sometimes we connect food addictions with people that eat
with
and
overweight,
are obese and overweight.
Yeah, because it's what we see. Yeah. But if you take the population of addicted people to food, only 40% are obese.
Wow. Are you serious?
The other ones are 40%?
No. See?
What happens to the rest? They're binge
eating? Is that
eating?
Because they're well, forcing a...
Food addiction has a similarity to any other kind of addiction. Uh-huh. So food addiction implies that you have obsessive thoughts about food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have to be related to obesity.
Uh-huh. That's good to know.
Have, that's not an excuse, girl.
Lots of outside food. You know?
Okay. You experience abstinence. That means that when you don't have that delicious food
you
that
crave.
You are thinking about, you
go to withdraw.
Crave. And sometimes you have to abandon a very important business meeting because you are thinking about that particular food and you go.
So that interferes with your work.
Yeah. But they're not overeating? Necessarily, you're saying they're thinking about it and they
not
want to eat, but they don't necessarily.
But the addiction drives you.
But it is a barrier in your normal life because it takes too much time of thinking, preparing, planning, and then a tolerance is tolerance, but not necessarily tolerance an amount of food, but the kind of food. It may be that people have a sweet tooth and then they like sugar. Well, next time they have to have a little more sugar. So, and that is why there is a relationship. 40% is a high relationship, but there are many people that are in trouble because they are depending on food, but they're not necessarily gaining food.
Doctor, as a parent, as I was raising my children, I had to really police myself when I was dealing with food because I didn't want to make that the center of their attention. I didn't want them to overeat. But I didn't want them to think that I was saying if you eat too much, you're going
it's
to be fat.
It's bad for you, you're going to be fat. Yeah.
And vice versa, because sometimes you do, as a parent, you use food as a reward.
Right.
So I try to stay away from, oh, if you do this, you're going to get this to eat or that and the other. And but it's so hard. What can you tell parents, especially during the developmental stage, as they are raising
their children?
Find
that balance.
Yeah, it's
boundaries.
Hard sometimes to limit.
What you are bringing is a very important one because a lot of the food process is social. Food is not just like an animal eats,
food.
You know, to grow a cow. Humans have food as an interactive element there. So it's very important not to make food the center of everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is important to present the food as something that we are grateful to God for providing and that it is very necessary for us. I think there is a key element in this process, which is what is in there. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say at some point, what are the ingredients that are addictive?
Mm-hmm. Oh, please tell us. We want to know.
Well, let's talk about sugar.
Why she had a bowl of cream puffs today.
That people might
it was one, and I didn't enjoy it.
Okay. She was like watching sugar you. Or like pizza or something. Why does it seem like that?
You got some of the ingredients
there. Why can't
we be
addicted to healthy food?
They are coming. Whenever
why are we addicted to
kale? Well, I would love to be addicted to kale.
Tell us.
How did that happen?
Are people addicted to kale?
No, why can't we be addicted to kale?
I never heard of anyone addicted to kale.
Right, but we're saying why can't we be addicted to the good stuff? Why is it the not so good stuff that
well,
we want?
Well, it's because we just have gone into what society, the food industry has placed
actually,
in front of
I must
us.
Say, you could be, say, a vegetarian that loves, or even a vegan that loves food, and maybe you could still be addicted to food if you're having that kind of compulsion.
Right. It is
about.
More rare, but it can happen.
It can happen.
Yes.
So, what are the ingredients you're going to tell us?
Well, let me refer to a recent study. David Kessler is or was the director of the Drug and Food Administration in the country. And he had this question about what people are doing in order to be not only addicted, but overweight, especially the overeating. And he conducted a study that it was based on first-hand observation of people eating in places. He would go and then observe how
people
eat.
What
they were eating and how they were eating, what was happening.
And,
he would do something very funny, which is at the end, the restaurants would close. He would go to the garbage bins and get the boxes that they had thrown because there is a law that says that any food shipped from state to state has to have explicit outside of the box the ingredients. And he started to see what were the ingredients that were in the restaurants, which are the ones that are appealing to people, right? Mm-hmm. And after all these studies, he came and biochemical studies, even with population of people, he published a book that is called The End of Overeating. You can find it in... And there are three ingredients.
Oh, that's easy. They are part of a diet,
and they are okay if they are eaten in moderation. Ah. But those three have significant chemicals that will emphasize the production of neurotransmitters that will produce the pleasure that we want.
You want more.
More.
Right.
Okay, very easy. Sugar.
Yeah. Okay. That one we knew. Okay.
Salt.
Oh, yes.
Salt.
And fat.
Oh, the combination of the three, or the excess.
Okay, if you eat in moderation, there is no problem, but there is a very narrow line. You can go beyond, and you can be subject to chemical processes. If it's very little beyond, probably you are in control. But if you commit excesses, you are getting very close to addiction.
The problem is when you eat something even that's just a little bit salty. What do you tend to want?
You want something,
There's an addictive quality to that.
What you are saying is important because you probably are subject to be addicted to salt. But there are others that are not.
It's more for sweet or fat.
In my psychology classes, I used to use the clickers, and I would put immediately there. And I ask this question, when you are craving, what do you crave for?
Right.
And I had example of sweet, example of salty, example of fatty, an example of spicy.
Oh,
and I was expecting that the majority would be sugar.
Right.
No. Salt came number one, and then sugar,
really?
And then fatty, and then spice.
Okay. Now, Dr.
And several batches of students, all the time that I was teaching general psychology, I would do it once a quarter.
And this happened. Now,
like
tell
that.
Us, we are talking about, now we know that, but how about people who, it's not simply say, I don't want to eat salt, I will avoid this. They have an inner kind of drive that, you know, they feel comfort by doing that, something that's driving them. What are some of those factors for women that drives them to use some of these ingredients as a comforting kind of substance that they could then deal with so that they perhaps will crave less of that kind of unhealthy comforting?
In other words, the drug of choice.
No, what is the root? Yeah, that is the drug of choice. Yeah. But what are some of those root causes that, you know, increase the risk for women in particular to be more susceptible to seek the drug of choice?
Yeah. We have mentioned already that food and intake are social processes as well. So what happens is that we have a self-concept and we have people around and we have memories of relations with people. And then we use the very good experience of having eaten in the past and felt good with people and so on to bring those good memories and compensate for the pain and the sorrow.
So that's one of the reasons. It's like brings you back to close to home in a way.
Exactly. That is the
comfort foods.
Very important.
How about for somebody who has had like a trauma or because I've read and we've looked at some studies that say that the root causes of addiction really go beyond even the good feelings. Sometimes they are hurting. They are in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And those neurotransmitters that are going to come is what will help. So what, as a therapist, what do you really recommend women do if they find themselves, perhaps they're watching us, they say, yeah, that might be me. You know, I have some pains and things, and perhaps I'm using food to kind of soothe that. What would be your counsel to them?
Well, we have to substitute always. It happens with all substances, and it happens with behaviors as well that are not good for us. We have to put a substitute. So we need to think about what I'm going to put in the in place of the food. Mm-hmm. So if I use food because I am low and I am discouraged and I have been problems, having problems with my spouse, what am I going to do? Well, people may choose music. They may choose exercise.
So healthy things. They can replace healthy things that are
unlikely to be addictive. Although exercise, there are a growing number of people being addicted to exercise. But I think you have to be
very... I wish
very,
that was my problem.
Oh, wow. You know,
it's about this as well.
I have experienced a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So there is addiction to
exercise. So this is a very good tip. And we want to thank you, Dr. Melgoza, for giving us some of this helpful information that we can perhaps use for our own lives. If you are someone who is struggling with some of these issues, food addictions, or you don't know where to turn to, for more information, you can go to our website. There, you will be able to download our Speak Up notes on this topic, and you'll be able to use it for personal use as well as share with your friends and with your family. There's more to come, though, right after the break. Don't go away. We're speaking up today about overeating. So we had a very, very good discussion.
That was great.
Think? Yeah. What have you learned about it?
That there are, what, three main ingredients that draw us
You know
to
that
food.
You can't avoid those, like,
that's
completely,
yeah, almost
right?
Every yeah. food has either yeah, salt
the excess
sugar
of it, I guess. Is, yeah. yeah, is what he said, the excess of it.
So get we're aware.
Get addicted to kale.
Yeah, oh, that's, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Brussels sprouts.
Right, exactly. So actually making choices that can help. But how about, you know, with people that have deeper reasons why they do it, it's very easy for us to say, oh, yeah, you just choose the right foods.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you have
but
to
But we know that people that have gone through child abuse, for instance, they want to eat, but they also don't want to look pretty. And,
yep.
and
think. They don't want to
protect
they
themselves.
They don't want anyone to find them attractive.
Not everyone, but some of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how to deal with those inner root causes, I think, is still something that it's very important for us to
And financial issues as well. You know, like, look at fast food restaurants. Right. They have, like, a menu for a dollar. And if you don't have food and you
not healthy, right?
It's yeah, unhealthy. You're going to eat, feed your family with a dollar.
Every right. time again, you don't have something's two for a dollar.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is really, you know, something that we have to think about, what the population can afford.
Yeah, so helping advocate, actually, for healthier choices for people at a low cost.
But I think...
But still, what I was talking about...
One of
about,
the important things is the root issue to why a person overeats.
It's
you know, it's more than just a liking for something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Some people that go through binge eating then go through that period. So that gets into more deeper mental, emotional issues. But I think that it's key to look at those root causes.
But
right?
I think it's also important for us to recognize how we, like us friends, as parents, as neighbors, not being nosy neighbors, but as a church family,
right.
how do we recognize that a certain individual is struggling? Or even so, if we recognize that issue or problem, then how do we approach
Are
them?
Are you going to approach someone and say, but I've noticed you are...
Yeah, in all how do you approach it?
Approach appropriately
so
that
what do you
they
think would be helpful
not,
to do?
Non-judgmental.
Based on what we heard. You're working with kids, you're going to come, oh, you're going to be a very fat woman if you do this. No, that's not going to help, right? So how do you help kids and
you
young adults?
You can rope yourself into it. I mean, I have one of my youth, and she is taking, like, kickboxing to lose weight. Uh-huh. So I'll just talk to her about it. How's the kickboxing going? Maybe I should join her for a kickboxing class. Yeah. You look great. You're losing weight. And so then it's become something that she can talk about publicly.
Yeah.
We're in Wednesday night class, and I'll bring it up in front of the whole class.
But she's actively doing
progress.
Something about
right,
it.
Exactly.
What do you do when somebody's there?
Not talking about their inner issue.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's
what do
a
you
tough
do?
One.
Yeah. I think
tough
the
one,
relationship, yeah. turns out that if you have a trusting relationship with that person and you're able to share with them that God is always able to heal those hurts that maybe they don't even, nobody dreams about, but they know about.
And once again,
and bring people to the Bible. To the scripture. Because that's where we are going. I think, Llewellyn, you have a text that talks about, brings us some hope on this issue.
Yes. So, you know what? Our God, we have a loving Father who actually recognizes our need for food. Mm. And he even calls himself the bread of life.
So
he knows that we need to eat. Yeah. But then again, we have a responsibility, first and foremost, that we have to be aware of what we feed our bodies with. Mm-hmm. You know, our text in the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. However, overcoming food addiction, it's not easy. But if you need to have the desire to be able to overcome it, then God will be faithful. God will be there for you to go through the battles.
Yeah.
You know, God, we provide the will as human beings. others provide encouragement, but God provides
and
the power.
That God has put in place ways and people to help you, including healthcare professionals.
This is very important.
Guide you.
And you know, there is Christian-centered 12-step programs that can help Overeaters Anonymous and all that. Yes. So this is another great resource. Thank you so much. Perhaps you are someone who is watching us and have struggled with this, but you saw we've learned today many good things. We learned that eating too much food can become an addiction, even if healthy food. And that there are deep-rooted factors that can be behind this whole issue of overeating. But if you are struggling, don't despair. Seek help. With God's help, you too can become unhooked from food addictions. Ask God to show you what your innermost needs really are. He's the bread of life. We just heard that. And prayerfully acknowledge that only He can give you the power to overcome this. Consider joining a recovery ministries group, a 12-step Christ-centered group, and that can also be helpful. So this is it for today. Remember, you can go to our website. There will be Speak Up notes there that you can download on overeating. Share them widely. And send us a note on social media as well if you have a question or a comment. We'll see you next time on Speak Up, and we will talk about issues that matter to your whole health and happiness.